Every now and then, it seems, we come to a passage in God's Word that if we didn't preach expositorily, we would never purposely hit. And this is one of those passages. As Paul is going to use an Old Testament allegory to explain what he's been talking about up until now. Now, we often put labels on different passages of Scripture. What label do we put on 1 Corinthians chapter 13? The love chapter. What kind of labels do we put on the book of Galatians? A lot of people see Galatians as the book or the letter of Christian freedom. And extend that into their view of maybe even Christian liberties. But when we talk, and Paul talks, Paul talks all through Galatians of our freedom. But what freedom do we have? Do we have freedom to do whatever we want? Or are we free from the bondage of sin that has encapsulated mankind since the fall of Adam? And I will contend that we are free from the bondage of sin. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Through the end of the chapter, and then also verse 1 of chapter 5, which probably should be grouped in with chapter 4. But chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For what it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." So we are either free or we are slaves. We can look back at our own country back in the 1800s, 1800s. Men and women and children in the South, they were either slaves or they were free. So we too are either slaves to our master, which is sin, or we are free from that bondage of sin. And Paul's going to go back and use the history of Abraham and Sarah and Ishmael and Isaac to try to explain what he's been talking about. You know me. I love using stories to explain things. My stories usually involve you, or my family, or my work. And I do that to try to explain what I'm trying to say in a way that maybe we can understand a little bit better. And that's what Paul's going to be doing here. The only problem is, I don't know if we quite get it. Paul's audience, who he was writing to, was Gentile believers. Yet he uses an analogy, an allegory of Abraham from the Old Testament. These people were not Jews. I mean, this is where their problem, the problems they were having right now, is these Judaizers coming from Jerusalem to impose Judaism upon them and distract them from their salvation and the true gospel. I know we at this church and many more like us, we don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. Sometimes we say we don't want to go to the Old Testament because that distracts us from the New Testament. Pastor Dan, we're a New Testament church. We wouldn't have the New Testament if we didn't have the Old Testament to begin with. And by Paul able to use this allegory with the Gentile believers in the region of Galatia shows us that he took time when he was with them in his initial teaching to explain to them the Old Testament. I mean, for the most part, our Old Testament training comes where? Sunday school. When? When we're kids. Okay, so we're good at indwelling our children with Old Testament stories. And a lot of times that's how they come out, as stories. But Paul is able to use this time in Abraham and Sarah's life to explain to the Galatians just what salvation is. If I had my desire, I would like to just read verses 21 through the end of the chapter and verse 5:1, pray and go home and say, we'll let God talk today. I just pray I don't ruin it. So open up with you would, if you would, and look with me beginning at verse 21. Paul says, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Father, give me the words this morning to properly try to dissect your perfect word. Father, may I not mess it up, but may I give you honor and glory this morning as you teach us. The Galatian people, they're perplexed. What do they do? Paul's not with them. He's miles and miles and miles away. These Judaizers are here. They sound good. They use Bible verses. Like my dear mother. Oh, they said John 3:16. They can't be all bad. But they're trying to get their focus off of the grace of God and onto works. And Paul says, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? I mean, this sounds intriguing to you. I mean, Paul's not here to explain things. Makes a little bit of sense that we have to do something. I mean, they're not asking that much of us. They are. I mean, if you want to be under the law, you better listen to what the law says. I mean, guys, if the law of God from the Old Testament were the way of salvation, then we would still be practicing it today. I mean, we would have a communion table / baptismal tank / altar. It could do all three. But we don't. Because Christ fulfilled the law that even though the law was perfect, we could not keep it because we are not. You want to be under the law? Don't you listen to what the law says? Can you be perfect and keep it? I mean, surely some people, some men back during this time would say, like the rich young ruler, yes, Paul, I can keep this, and I can keep that, and I can keep this. I mean, I've done that, I've kept that since the day I was born. I'm sure Paul would look in his famous words from chapter 2, oh, you foolish Galatian. If you can keep the whole law, then take that which is most important to you and give it up. So he uses a story. Goes back to the Old Testament. It says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. So Abraham was given a promise by God that he would have heirs. Okay? That his nation would be great. Abraham gets his promise in his old age. Sarah has been barren her whole life, unable to have any children. And now she's as old as dirt. So, like we so often do, instead of trusting God in His provision, Sarah goes off and comes up with her own idea. And she gives unto Abraham her little servant woman, Hagar. And she tells Abraham, go in, have a child with Hagar, and we will fulfill God's plan. And Abraham does. At about the age of 86, 14 years later, God opens up Sarah's womb at about the age of 90. And she has Isaac. One born by the bondwoman, one born of the promise. And because of Sarah and Abraham's lack of faith, downright disobedience to God, Ishmael has been a plague on the Jewish nation ever since. Verse 23, but the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. The son of the bondwoman by natural human ability. Hagar being young enough to still bear children. Abraham being fertile enough to still sire children. But Isaac being born of the promise. Where Isaac is not born of the Spirit like our Savior was. He was born of supernatural power from God Almighty. Verse 24, this is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Paul saying this is a story that's going to convey a meaning that you may not totally understand. I tell you the truth, I have trouble. So these two women are two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. Says she is Hagar. Then he says, now Hagar is a picture of Mount Sinai in Arabia. What is Mount Sinai known as or known for? Huh? No, that's Ararat. Nice try. Okay. That is where Moses went up, met God, and was given the law. Okay, so Hagar is a picture of Mount Sinai, which is a picture of the law. And the children of Hagar, the children of Mount Sinai, they are to be slaves. And Mount Sinai corresponds to present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Now, when Paul says present Jerusalem, he doesn't mean 2022 present Jerusalem. He means present Jerusalem of 60 AD, or whenever he wrote this letter. Can you imagine if you were a Jew and you're reading Paul's letter and Paul says that Jerusalem, your center of worship, is equated to slavery and to Hagar, the mother of Ishmael? It's because that whole Jewish system was a picture of slavery. And she's in slavery with her children. Paul changes course and says, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is a... So Sarah is a picture of the true Jerusalem. The Jerusalem above. And he goes back to Isaiah 54:1. And he says, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. God's ways are so much different from our ways. In order to be, you know, I say this more often than I want to anymore. If you want to be rich, become poor. If you want to be first, be last. In this case, if you want to bear children, don't have any. It doesn't make any sense. But God will supply. I mean, how many times are we in prayer for something? Something that almost seems impossible. It can be something stupid. It can be something great. I don't know. And you go and you do it yourself instead of waiting on God. I'm thankful for the times that I wait on God. I mean, there was a time many, many years ago. Beth and I had just recently started... See, here's my allegory. It's not biblical. Me and Beth had just started the job that we're doing. And I can't remember quite what happened. Maybe we hadn't even started the job yet. I mean, but Beth doing what Beth does best, which is, I mean, I think she was the Grace Bible Fellowship church bus from day one. Our vehicle broke down and died. We didn't have any money back then. We still had a handful of our kids at home eating us out of everything that we had. And we didn't know what to do. And we waited on God, which is something we don't tend to do as much now. Because I can be self-sufficient. But God provided a van for us so that Beth could continue bringing people to church. It will blow your mind sometimes if you wait on God instead of trying to do things yourself. But that's something in our life that we still reflect back on with thanksgiving and joy in those who were kind enough to give of themselves for us. Verse 28, and you brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Galatians, you who are trying to put yourself back into bondage, you are not the son of a bondwoman, you are the son of the free woman. You are children of the promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so now it is also. And I think right here we kind of get a picture of Abraham and Isaac growing up. Or of Isaac and Ishmael growing up. Ishmael being about 14 years older. Isaac growing up as the heir of Abraham. Ishmael playing second fiddle. But at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born of... That must have been a very fun childhood for Isaac. That continued to be very interesting for the many centuries that followed. And even today, as we have pretty much every one of the Middle Eastern countries at odds against Israel. Verse 30. But what does Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of a free woman. So in Genesis chapter 21, Abraham had Hagar and Ishmael leave. And as Paul is using this not as a story for Islam against Judaism, but he's using this story as between grace and works, he says, so in the same way, he uses this example, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of a free woman. So much of Christianity today plays around with works. I mean, the big elephant in the room in this one is Catholicism. Catholicism plays around with traditions and works, puts them on an even keel with Scripture, or even greater than Scripture, and greater than grace. If there is anything that anybody ever tells you that you have to do of your own power to receive God's salvation, other than it being a gift from God that is given to you, then you are playing around with the bondwoman and her son. Ten or 15 years ago, there's a group that got together They wanted to take all of the things that could be agreed upon in the different factions of Christianity. We call it being ecumenical. And they wanted to bring these groups together and show how many things we have together. But the problem is, whenever works gets involved, then that deteriorates anything that we have together. I mean, I'm sure Ishmael was a cute kid. I'm sure he was good looking. I'm sure that he obeyed Abraham. But God told him to cast them out. Because we are free from the yoke of the law. We do not have to do anything for our salvation. And that's so hard for us. Because we want to do everything. Our freedom comes from Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to the yoke of slavery. We all have little things in our lives that we do that we think makes us better in God's sight. The problem, though, is here's a Christian. Here's straight out apostasy against going against God. How do people become apostates? I mean, in its definition, apostate is somebody who claimed Christ but has walked away from Christ. How does that happen? I mean, does it happen overnight? Apostasy starts somewhat like this. Starts very, very small. And we allow those small things to lead away. We have freedom in Christ. We don't need the bondage that comes with the law. And if we're truly His children, we'll be able to handle that. Maybe not perfectly, because we're still who we are. But God will help us and lead us and mold us and take us to where He wants us to be. Not to be like me. Not to be like Ryan. As much as we all want to be like Jerry, not to be like him, but to be like Christ. That should be our goal. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the ability to read Your Word, to study Your Word, to communicate Your Word, and to live Your Word. Father, shine upon us, I pray, that Your Spirit might be represented through our lives. Father, that You might receive glory in how we talk, in how we think, how we speak, and how we live. For we ask this in your name. Amen.